The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. A History of Class Struggle. The U.S. working class has a long and rich tradition of struggle. But it has followed a boom and bust pattern. Extended periods of surface calm interrupted by huge explosions. The eruption of pent-up anger appears on the surface to come from nowhere. But it has its roots in the preceding period of employer attacks on the working class and its organizations. The attacks, which often involve intense violence directed against strikers and their families, have usually been successful in weakening or destroying unions and crippling the left. The result has been periodic breaks in the organizational and political continuity of the movement. Each new wave of struggle has not necessarily had the benefit of learning from the experience of previous waves. This herky-jerky history prompted Trotsky to observe, quote, "The American workers are very combative, as we have seen during the strikes. They have had the most rebellious strikes in the world. What the American worker misses is a spirit of generalization or analysis of his class position in society as a whole." End quote. An example of the break in continuity is the fact that until the mass protests of immigrant workers on May Day 2006, most American workers were only vaguely aware of May Day's significance as a holiday marking the international solidarity of the world working class. Fewer still know that the first May Day in the world was marked in 1886 by a strike of 200,000 U.S. workers demanding the 8-hour day. The memory of the working class can only be embodied in organizations that are capable of carrying on the tradition. In the United States, that memory has been continually lost and then relearned. Yet, having said this, it is important to point out that in every upturn of mass struggle, tens of thousands of workers have embraced socialist ideas and organization. The Socialist Party, for example, peaked at 150,000 members in 1915. Eugene Debs got almost 1 million votes in his 1912 presidential run. Tens of thousands of workers went through the school of the IWW, and at its height in 1938, the Communist Party, CP, boasted 80,000 members and twice as many close collaborators. In 1969, at the height of radical ferment, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover warned President Nixon that, quote, "A recent poll indicates that approximately 25% of the black population has great respect for the Black Panther Party, including 43% of blacks under 21 years of age." End quote. The American ruling class tradition is one in which it uses every means at its disposal to divide and weaken the working class movement, and to try to crush it when it rises up. It is distinct from other ruling classes, not in nature, but in degree. The racism it has employed, for example, has historically surpassed that of every other advanced industrial society, with the exception of apartheid-era South Africa. Moreover, the political system it presides over is based on the rule of nearly identical capitalist parties, in which one party masquerades as an ally of workers and the oppressed in order to absorb the movements. And the scale of violence it is willing to use to smash workers' resistance is the most extreme in the industrialized world. These are the real obstacles workers have faced. Yet these obstacles would not be placed in front of workers by the bosses, unless the possibility of class unity was a real threat. Workers can choose two different responses to the boss's attempts to divide them. They can accept those divisions and see lower paid, more oppressed workers as their competitors. Or they can learn from their own hard experience that the best way to defend themselves is to unite and raise the conditions of all. Obviously, American capitalism would not have survived to this day without succeeding in dividing workers. But every example of real solidarity reminds us of the potential for things to be different. As Philip Foner recounted, quote, "We are commencing to see a few things," declared a Davenport, Iowa locale of the United Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, after the employers had taken advantage of the union's discrimination policy to use Negro workers as strikebreakers. "The prejudice we have held against color is beginning to vanish. A man may be white, black, brown, red, or yellow. If he is a toiler, he is one of us and part of us. For if his scale of living is lower than ours, our own is not secure. For no chain is secure than the weakest link in it." End of quote and end of section.